Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center is your guest on this part of the hotline this morning. Morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Barry.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm reviewing my notes as you're speaking.
Every time I give that full title, I think of having a business card that's maybe 8 inches long in order to get that all on there. Yeah,
it's just extra small print to fit on there.
There you go. Well, this morning you're going to tell us about ways to do something that everybody in business probably would love to be able to do, and that is improve cash flow.
Yes, that is what we're talking about today. And so the first thing really that goes with cash flow is understanding your cash flow, which means you have to know what it is, right? What is people think that your cash flow is your profit and loss statement or your income statement, and it's not. It's a completely separate statement. And so you can actually show that you have profits and have a negative cash flow. So that seems counterintuitive.
It does.
Yes.
But
cash flow is all about the timing of your cash. So that's what I was going to talk about, is just understanding what it is and then several ways that you can or several things that you can implement into your business that will actually improve your cash flow, no matter what kind of business you have.
So that when you say improve your cash flow, you might not be saying increase your cash flow. You're saying have it arrive in a more timely fashion.
Yes, absolutely. And it is possible to increase it as well.
Depending, that would be good.
Yes, absolutely. But definitely you want to improve it. There's no harm in improving your cash flow, right?
That's right.
So cash flow, and I'm going to be pulling from something called the CEO's Guide to Improving Cash Flow. And this is something that I can give to people if they want to give me a call or shoot me an email or something. And I would give them this as well. But then we could walk through the different points of this particular guide and let them, you know, I can work with them to improve their cash flow one-on-one.
All right. So you're going to give us a general overview here.
Yes, exactly. So, of course, a really successful business has a positive operating cash flow, right, that's actually greater than its profits. That's what you want to see. And there's something called free cash flow. And free cash flow represents the amount of cash your business generates minus any capital expenditures you have. So free cash flow is used to repay debt, reinvestments in your company, like inventory, or payout distribution to owners. And so that's really the big difference between your profit and loss statement and your cash flow statement, because your profit and loss statement does not reflect your payments for like your mortgage or other liabilities that you have, vehicle expenses, things like that, vehicle loan payments, I should say, don't reflect on your profit and loss statement. But those types of things do reflect on your cash flow. And so, and also, again, it's about timing. So when that cash comes in, like truly comes in, and when that cash goes out, because your profit and loss statement may very well reflect, especially most people are on what they call the accrual method of accounting. And so once you bill for something, let's say you send out an invoice, in your profit and loss statement, it will show that that is income, right? That's expected income. But your cash flow statement will actually reflect that you haven't received the payment for it yet. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference there. And so it's just important to note that not everything that shows up on your profit and that not everything shows up on your profit and loss, but everything that has to do with cash in or cash out, you know, even big purchases like for equipment and stuff, that will show up on your cash flow statement.
So would it be fair to say that you need to have a good report on both statements in order to feel confident that your business is on a sound footing?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we'll go over, is the fact that, you know, you have to be able to understand your three basic financial statements, which is your profit and loss statement, your cash flow statement, and your balance sheet. And the majority of small business owners don't look at those three statements. At best, they look at the one, which is the profit and loss, because that's the very straightforward one for most individuals. And so in order to have a holistic picture of your business and to be strategic in what you do going forward, you have to understand what's on those statements, and you have to be able to look at them and make decisions from them so that you're making educated decisions.
So they can help you. You might be tempted to rely primarily on your profit and loss statement. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, you might be ignoring little clues that those other two statements could give you to improve your profit and loss statement.
Yeah, absolutely. And your profits won't equal your cash if three things. If you did work, but you didn't get paid yet, so we talked about that. If you paid for things like payroll before you got paid, so there's a way to delay your payroll. We'll talk about that as one of the methods to improve your cash flow. Or if you made investments for the future, like buying inventory, then again, your profits won't equal your cash.
So do you think that at this point we have established enough of a definition or understanding of cash flow in order to move now into ways to improve it? Or is there more that you need to, more groundwork you want to lay?
More that people need to understand. Yeah, no, I think it's just cash in and cash out, but it includes everything that happens with cash, even paying owners that you don't see on your profit and loss. So,
okay.
All right. I think we're good on the definition.
Okay. All right. So now, how do we improve that?
So the reason for a negative cash flow can always be found in what's called the sources and uses of your cash report. So the source of your cash is, it can be, there's multiple sources for how you get cash in your business. One is, of course, from sales, right? That's the given. But you can also get cash in your business if you get a loan, right? There's a big lump of cash that comes in for when you get a loan. You might get refunds or something like that. So there are ways that you get cash into the business, a line of credit, things like that. So it can be financed, or it can be financed cash that comes in, or it can be sales revenue that comes in. And then the use of those funds. So the use of the funds is like, okay, I'm going to take cash and buy inventory, right? Or I'm going to take cash and buy a piece of equipment, or what have you. But the sources and uses should match, meaning if the source of your funding is long-term, like a loan is long-term, right? I'm going to pay this off over 3 years or 5 years. Then the use of that should be for long-term assets, because then you're matching a long-term source of funds with a long-term asset that you're purchasing. What you don't want to do is use long-term sources like loan for short-term things that you need in your business, like inventory. Inventory gets turned over, right? That's a short-term asset. You buy it over and over and over again throughout the year. So that's considered short-term. So you should use short-term cash on hand or a short-term line of credit that can be paid back in another month, you know, or so. So the source of your cash needs to match the use of your cash in order to improve your cash flow and be doing best practices in your business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and this is something that business owners can learn and maybe should learn.
Yes,
absolutely. If they don't know it already.
Yeah. Because you can get cash in your business without having a profit. And to do that, that means that you got that money from a credit card or some long-term financing of some sort, but it doesn't reflect in your profits, mm-hmm. right? Because it wasn't meant to do that. It was meant to purchase assets or something. So, right. Yeah.
Purchase assets, pay some bills, meet payroll.
Meet payroll, yeah. And those, you know, meet payroll and purchase, you know, small things or whatever, those are short-term uses of funds, and so the source of the fund should also be short-term, like a line of credit or cash in the bank.
In a way, it's kind of hard to get a handle on this broad picture. It's almost like it would be, I mean, I'm starting to get the feel for it, but I think as concrete example of a particular business, it would be easier for you to explain it to somebody who comes in and says, look, in my business, here's what happens on Tuesdays, here's what's happened on mm-hmm. Wednesdays, this is when I expect to get most of the bills coming in or whatever.
Right.
You can start to tailor make your cash flow plan to meet the needs of that particular business.
We actually can. And one of the things that we can do when individuals come in with you know, their particular business is we can show them visually on a chart what it looks like if you make these changes. So if you delay payroll by 2 weeks, for example, so people work for 2 weeks, then it's 2 weeks later before they get paid for those 2 weeks. And that's one way to improve cash flow. So we can show what your cash will do if you were to do that. We can show how on a chart what it looks like, how you do it now versus if you do these improvements. And so that makes it a lot easier for people to understand how those small changes like that can actually have a large benefit on them having access to cash. It doesn't increase profits, but it does increase your cash flow so that you're not showing a profit, but somehow you're having trouble making payroll, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that happens a lot in small businesses. And then you're scrambling. So then you're not being strategic about things because you're trying to suddenly go and collect anything that's owed to you, right? And get it in as quickly as possible so that you can make payroll. Or you take out some type of loan that you shouldn't be taking out a loan for payroll, right?
So let me ask you a question that I probably should not be asking because I don't know that much about running a small business. Would that sort of cushion that you need to be able to meet unexpected expenses as they come in, or even expected expenses like payroll when your cash is short, is that a reason why maybe some people have what they call, or what maybe I'm the one who coined this, I don't think so, a float in your checking account where there's you try to keep a certain bulk amount of cash in there just for those expenses that come up at times when your cash flow is a little short?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You are absolutely on point with that. So the float or the reserve, or you could use other terms for it. But yes, you should definitely have something like that. And when you understand your cash flow statement, you can actually do cash flow forecast, which is kind of that chart I was talking about where it's visual and you can see it. When you have that knowledge and you can see what the forecast is, you know that payroll is coming. You know that all these other things are coming, and you can see where your cash is going to land at that point in time. So again, that's how one of the ways that cash flow differs from a profit and loss is it's time sensitive, whereas a profit and loss, not so much so.
So you might not have to carry such a large reserve if you have that better planning going into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But definitely should always have a reserve. Every business, big, small, medium size, should have a reserve or a float, or, you know, always have cash in the bank. There's an old saying, cash is king. You run out of cash, you run out of business, right? Yeah. Yeah. So you have to be able to have that cash available to you and be liquid enough to pay for things as they come up.
Yeah. In other words, if you need to right now, you need today, this afternoon, to have a check in somebody's hands, you've got to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And there are ways to calculate like your operating cycle and how much cash you will actually need, you know, for the next 30 days. And you should know those numbers. And if you don't, come see me and I can help you understand what those numbers are so that you have the proper amount of float or reserve or free cash available to pay for all of your operating things.
I really appreciate what you just said there. And sometimes it's a matter of, I mean, here we are talking about these numbers and everything. Everything's totally dependent on words mm-hmm. between us here as we talk and the listeners as they listen. Where if you're sitting with somebody, you can show them on a chart or graph something out.
Yes.
And that visual help can really improve understanding. You've done a good job of painting a word picture, but it's still just words, and sometimes you need that visual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So more with Rebecca Lobina and improving your cash flow just ahead. So we're talking about ways to improve cash flow in a small business, and the good news is there are ways you can do it.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the ways you can do it is by instituting a 2-week delay in when you make your payroll. So by setting up a delay of 2 weeks, it does two things. So it allows you enough time to invoice and possibly get paid by your client before you have to actually pay your employees for doing the work already, right? It also gives you more time to process that payroll, so it reduces the chance of errors because you're not rushing to get it done in like a 2-day period or something like that. And the best practice of managing cash flow of paying expenses is related to managing the timing of your payroll. So again, we can show you like on a chart, if you don't already have a 2-week delay on your payroll, how that can improve your cash flow. And then another thing you can do is to automate any invoicing. So if you are a business who has accounts receivables and sends out invoices, then make sure that that's automated so that as soon as the project or the milestone or whatever is complete, that that invoice goes out right away, that you are not waiting until the end of the month or the beginning of the next month or however you do it. You're not waiting to invoice. Invoices should go out as soon as the work is done, whatever work that is. And that can be set up to be automated. And then in addition to that, you can also set it up so that like if you use QuickBooks, for example, it can have like a little pay now button and you can email the invoices. And so that prompts people to pay quicker, like pay now. Additionally, you can ask to get paid in advance so that you're not waiting for the entire amount, especially if you are doing some type of service. Mm-hmm. So for example, yesterday I worked with – she might be listening. I don't know. Yesterday I worked with a lady, and she is going to provide a service for us, helping with some marketing issues. And so she's going to do all that work, and then she's going to bill me. Now, I'm just, you know, getting the work and doing what she asks, right? So, like, she does the work, then she'll bill me, then I'll pay her. That's what she does. That's fine. But if she was working with me as the Missouri SBDC, I would tell her, oh, you should at least ask for half up front, you know, because she's basically what happens when you are not asking for money up front of any kind of service that you're offering, then you're essentially extending a loan to that customer. And while that's all great for the customer, and I'm all about being customer friendly, there's also nothing wrong with being reasonable and realistic that it's going to cost you time, effort, supplies, whatever up front. And so you need to cover some of that in advance.
That makes perfect sense. And we just ran into that in our home. I have a project we want, a flooring project we need to have done. We've been planning on for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And we're paying half of it up front and the other half when the job is completed.
Yes.
So that's a good way to help the business. And it's also less of a shock for us, actually, because we will get the rest of it. It'd be a much smaller amount.
Right. So for you, yeah, so that's a good way to look at it, too. From your perspective as the customer, you're not paying a huge lump sum all at once. So it actually breaks it up for you, too, almost like a payment plan.
Yeah.
And so we already talked about billing immediately once the project is done or getting some money up front. And then I also wanted to talk about collecting. So when you need to get the money, right?
This is a real headache in some businesses.
It is. It is. And, you know, a bad collection process will lead to unnecessary cash flow problems. And it's usually, like you mentioned, Barry, this is usually the last thing anyone wants to do. And because of that, it oftentimes rarely gets done well. It's usually kind of at the last hour, or somebody hates doing it, or what have you. So, you know, there's the three F's when it comes to collection. So, and failure is not one of them. So the three F's are to be firm, be focused, but be friendly. And you need to allow someone in your business, or if it's you even as the owner, whoever is doing the collections, you need to impart on them the importance of getting that money into the company and allow them the proper time to do that job, to get that money in, and then also allow them the proper training to collect the money effectively and efficiently. And so, you know, you can tell them to be firm and be friendly and be focused. But
that's a balancing act.
It is. It very much so is. So part of that is just training them. And part of that training includes giving them examples of what a lot of people may say when they call. So it's always a good idea before an invoice is due, about, you know, 3 to 5 days before it's due, to have someone call the customer and say, you know, we hope you were satisfied with the service. You know, can you tell us if you were or not, or give us a rating or something? And then go into, your bill is due in the next few days. Would you like to go ahead and pay it now? Or, you know, so it's a friendly call. It's upfront. You're avoiding the whole late thing if you do that. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people will go ahead and just pay because it's convenient to just do so right then. But, you know, if that's not the case and somebody is already late, then you want to make sure that, you know, you've told them what to do. If somebody says, you know, I'll give you a partial payment, you know, are they allowed to accept partial payments? Or if they say the check's in the mail, you can tell them, okay, you can train them to say, great, can you give me the check number, the amount, and, you know, when can I expect that? Like, when did you put it in the mail? And I'll make note of it in your chart or whatever, or in your file. So, you know, just proper training for people on collections goes a long, long way to not having a lot of outstanding accounts receivables.
That just makes a lot of sense, and I can see where how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to have repeat customers, and you don't want to chase them away by being too harsh.
Exactly, exactly. Because I mean, it is a balancing act, but you earned the money; it is due to you. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Got about a minute left.
Okay.
So just a clue as to, because I know you got a pile of papers yet.
I do. I do. So there's like 28 tips in this file that I mentioned, the CEO's Guide to Improving Cash Flow. And so I recommend anybody go out, Google it, and you can find it, or I can give it to you if you email or call me. But it's just important to note that we can work with you at the Missouri Small Business Development Centers one-on-one, anytime. You want to talk about cash flow or ways to improve your business, and we can show you on paper what the difference would be if you implemented some of these.
You can
tips.
Walk them through this process,
yes.
Particular to their business,
yes.
Rather than the sort of general terms we've had to use here.
Absolutely. So just give us a call at 816-364-4105.
Rebecca, thanks as always for coming in and sharing with us a complicated topic today, but you did a great job.
Thank you very much.